AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump is now threatening a 200% tariff on European wine, champagne, and spirits if the European Union goes forward with the planned tariff on American whiskey that it announced this week. Those tariffs were in retaliation to the original 25% tariffs the Trump administration slapped on European steel and aluminum. Secretary of State Marco Rubio is in Canada meeting with EU and Canadian leaders about some of this and other issues. A big storm is ramping up in Southern California. Evacuations are underway in fire-scarred areas of Los Angeles. ABC Chief Meteorologist Ginger Zee has more on the rain.
Flood watches from Anaheim and Los Angeles eventually down to San Diego throughout the morning hours here. So let me take you through the timing. San Diego is going to be the heaviest here, 6 a.m. Pacific time. Into the mountains east of San Diego, you'll even see some of that snow developing at the higher elevations. That's going to make travel difficult.
A long line of those storms now moving further east. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Vernon County Sheriff Roy Torgerson reports two arrests made in conjunction with what appears to be an intentional damage to property incident in the rural Chaseburg-Stoddard area. On Tuesday afternoon at approximately 3:15, the Sheriff's Office 911 Dispatch Center was notified that two people were actively destroying property at the St. Peter's Lutheran Church on County Road K in the town of Hamburg. Once confronted by the witness who called the Sheriff's Office, both individuals fled the area in a vehicle. The witness provided the 911 dispatcher with a description of the vehicle, and that information was relayed to the responding officers. At approximately 4:20, a state trooper saw a vehicle consistent with the description given by the witness on County Road KO near the intersection of Lewandowski Lane, about 9 miles from the crime scene. However, there were no license plates on the vehicle that the trooper located. The trooper stopped the vehicle and the investigation continued. One individual was identified as Emmett Price Rathert, 22, of La Crosse. The other occupant identified herself as Kyatt Lynn O, 22, of St. Paul, Minnesota, but her identity is still being confirmed. Both were taken into custody and transported to the Sheriff's Office Detention Center. Through further investigation, it was determined that the Wisconsin license plates had been removed shortly after the vehicle fled the scene. If you have information on the current location of the license plates, Wisconsin ACT 7066, please call the Sheriff's Office at 608-637-2123. The monthly board meeting of the Family Thrift Shop will be held at the Park Street Christian Church Thursday at 1. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Big Ten tournament action today. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. The Wisconsin Badgers in Indianapolis for the Big Ten tournament. They take on the Northwestern Wildcats, who beat Minnesota yesterday 72-64 to advance to today's round. Head coach Greg Gard asked if he spent much time breaking down why his team lost at home last weekend to Penn State.
I probably have dissected it deeper and more intensely and harder than anybody else, just because I knew it wasn't one right now we needed to spend a lot of time on as a team. I did, because I wanted to really dissect the issues.
In New York, the Marquette Golden Eagles against Xavier today in the Big East tournament at Madison Square Garden. NFL free agency Packers center Josh Myers leaving Green Bay, signing a one-year deal with the New York Jets. Running back A.J. Dillon, who missed last season with a neck injury, signing a one-year contract with the Philadelphia Eagles. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
We are tracking a powerful spring storm system that could bring some thunderstorms tomorrow afternoon into tomorrow evening. Rain through Saturday, with rain changing to snow late Saturday night into Sunday. It's going to be windy with the system too. Otherwise, today, partly cloudy, 64. Tomorrow, our high in the low to mid 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 27.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Maggie Dawn.
At 2:30, we'll be joined by Chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, Ben Wickler, to talk about the people versus Elon Musk, our billionaire overlord. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Won't you help me? Won't you help me understand you?
Tennessee.
Lord, I've really been real stressed, down and out, losing ground. Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic. Brothers and sisters keep messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go to let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone.
Alone.
I never at once felt so alone.
Alone.
I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel, not just my spare tire.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Cardi, if there's anybody who plays any more diverse music than me, who is it? You know.
I'm about to ask you, is he going to bring out the cardboard box?
No, man. You know, all music, man. You know, I love all sorts of music. But anyway,
I like
we're going to be joined by former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. He'll be joining us any minute. We're going to talk about why it's so important, you know, with the Supreme Court election, you know, and, you know, I was watching the debate last night with Susan Crawford.
Okay.
And who was that stiff that was on there with her, man? Who was that stiff? Brad Schimmel.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, the amazing thing is I listened to Brad Schimmel on conservative talk radio before, you know, he even appeared yesterday. And I can tell you this and why it's so critically important. You can listen to Earl Ingram today and listen to him tomorrow and listen to him 365 days from now, and you're going to get the same Earl Ingram. I'm not going to change. This is who I am. And I think people should expect people to be who they are and not change as they're in different venues. But Brad Schimmel on conservative talk radio yesterday was a guy who was doing nonstop conversation about, you know, Republicans, and you know, he was entertaining the dialogue, conservative talking points, nonstop, kicking it. And okay, and so this is kind of who I am. You know, I'm supporting. You got to understand, I'm going to support the conservative way all the way through. That's who Brad Schimmel is. He wasn't hiding any of that yesterday on conservative Squawk Radio. But what Brad Schimmel did do, as I listened to him on a debate last night, he changed who he was. Man, he changed who he was. Now, he could fool. He can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. He couldn't fool me because I heard him yesterday afternoon. He was a different guy last night before the cameras. He was a guy trying to sound reasonable. He was a guy trying to sound like, hey, I'm not with those conservative guys. Okay? I'm going to be fair. And you're going to be able to trust me because I'm, you know, I'm one of you. Well, listen, Brad Schimmel, be the same person that you are all the time. So, you know, former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, I've known for a long time. And I can tell you, it doesn't matter whether I see Mandela today or tomorrow or next week or next year, he's going to be the same guy. He's going to be saying the same thing, and you know that's who he is. Brad Schimmel changed. He changed just in less than 10 hours. He was on conservative talk radio, and he was all in for everything that Donald Trump and the conservative movement, you know, is. But then when he came on the debate stage last night, he tried to get people to believe, well, I'm not really with those guys. Well, good morning, former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. How you doing, man?
It's always a good time when I get to hop on the show. So feeling all right. All right. What about you?
Yeah, man. So I'm just saying, man, you're always the same guy. You never change. Shouldn't we expect that?
Well, the one thing I will say is, you know, some change is certainly necessary, but we're looking at the short span of time. We're talking about one day where Brad Schimmel is one person on the radio show versus the person he is on a debate. And I know a lot of shapeshifters, a lot of people who do that, like depending on the setting, they are a different person. Now, that's the real problem. It's like there's zero consistency in them as people. And it's like, why should we trust them to make the decisions that impact our daily lives when they don't even have their own act together?
Well, I mean, clearly he's misleading people, you know. I mean, just be who you are. And if that's not good enough, then so be it. But he changed like a chameleon, man, in less than 10 hours. He was portraying this image of somebody who's reasonable and that if you vote for me, you're going to get, you know, fair and balanced a person on the Supreme Court. But that's not, you know, who he is. Your thoughts, well, man. Go ahead.
No, absolutely. I mean, he was the attorney general of the state for 4 years. I mean, you just have to look at his record during that 4 year span to know exactly who he is. And also, we got to think about the fact that this person was appointed by Scott Walker to serve on the Waukesha Circuit Court. So make no mistake, Scott Walker was not appointing any moderates to any judicial position. So let's be real clear about how he got to the point where he is. But, you know, Susan Crawford certainly handled her own and called out a lot of his BS yesterday. And I was very proud to see that.
I tell you, man, you know, I had her on the show several weeks back. I didn't know her at the time. And when we had her on and we had a conversation, you know, you don't really get to know a person for the first time. And, you know, especially over the airwaves. But last night she was very strong and she was determined and she refused to be bullied. She refused to be misquoted. And man, that's kind of what you're looking for, man. You know, I mean, I was really surprised and encouraged by her strength, you know, and not being bullied and not backing down. You've seen the tactics before. You ran for United States Senate, and they use the same tactics on you that they're using on her.
Oh, for sure. And it's not a new playbook at all. And we just saw it go into overdrive during my campaign.
Right.
It was obviously very, you know, disgusting. But the fact is, you know, Susan Crawford has a proven record. And this is the difference between a person who is comfortable in the work that they have done versus somebody who is trying to figure it out on the fly and decide who he wants to be at what point in time. And it showed very clear in Susan Crawford's presentation versus Brad Schimmel's presentation.
You know, Mandela, how critically important, we hear people say it, there's been well over $60 million. This is an all-time record. We know the last time there was a state Supreme Court seat available, record-breaking number of dollars were spent, and this time even more so. It does kind of show how important this seat is, right?
Well, it shows how important the seat is, but it also shows just what the gross influence of money in politics, what that has become. I mean, there's no reason that these races should be this expensive. There's no reason any race should be this expensive. And the fact that you have the world's most wealthy individual, the richest man on the entire planet, is putting his influence in this race the same way that he did with the presidential election. You see how that's turning out for everyday working people. You see how it's turned out for people who went into a career of public service to do the public good, to make life a little better for the rest of us, being purged. And I don't want that stink on our Supreme Court. And effectively, that's what will happen. Brad Schimmel could deny it all he wants to, but there is a reason why Elon Musk is spending this sort of money. He doesn't just spend money to spend money. Sometimes it looks foolish, like when he bought Twitter, but now he has vast control over this large social media empire that has turned into a racist hellscape. And now we see this purging at the federal government the same way he did at Twitter, trying to turn this country effectively into the same sort of territory. And there shouldn't even be consideration for allowing his influence on our court in Wisconsin. It should be a non-starter for everybody. I'm not willing to take that chance.
You know, man, I heard him say, she's getting money from the worst guy in the world, George Soros, and he was anti this and he was anti that. And I'm like, hey, come on, man.
You know? They invoke this man's name, but have yet to say a single thing that they have an issue with. We're talking about a man like whose family, you know, fled the Nazis, right? Like it's not even hypocritical. It's just disingenuous.
Well, he's against funding the police. Hey, man, he's against crime. George Soros, come on, man. You know it. That works for some. And hopefully people are tired of that same old playbook, right? They shouldn't fall for it anymore. 855-752-4842. Former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. I'm going to stop saying former Lieutenant Governor. What is your title now?
And former Lieutenant Governor is fine. Okay. I wear a lot of hats. I wear a lot of hats.
All right. That one I can always remember. 855-752-4842. Former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes is on the dais, and you can join us on the Earl Ingram Show.
News from the center, WRCE.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
1849, ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is squat about that now?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is squat about that one?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is flawed about them?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. A Wisconsin judge has affirmed that Canadian oil giant Enbridge must pause construction on its Line 5 pipeline while a legal challenge plays out. Conservation groups are suing to block state permits that would allow the company to clear trees, dig trenches, and fill wetlands in northern Wisconsin, all to make way for a new 41-mile section of the pipeline that carries Canadian crude oil to refineries in Ontario. Republicans and Democrats in Wisconsin coming together to support livestock grazing on our farms. State lawmakers introduced the Transition to Grazing Bill that will help our farmers improve soil, water quality, and livestock health by getting dairy cows and other animals out of the barns and out grazing on grass in the spring and summertime. For a deep dive into environmental issues and what you can do to protect Wisconsin's water, air, and land, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Turn around. Every now and then I get a little bit lonely and you're never coming around.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of listening to the sound of my tears.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit nervous that the best of all the years have gone by.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit terrified. Then I see the look in your eyes.
Turn around, bright eyes.
Every now and then I fall apart.
Turn around, bright eyes.
Every now and then I fall apart.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. My guest is former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. You know, Mandela, I would be remiss if I didn't tell you to say, give the greetings to your mom and dad.
I will be sure to do that.
Yeah, man. Hey, tell them I said hello. Let me ask you, let's go to the phone lines first. Let's go to Cindy from Appleton. Good morning to you, Cindy. You say what?
Well, I say we are never going to get to the people who support the MAGA candidates because I'm driving in areas where the MAGA areas are and there's nothing but Brad Schimmel signs everywhere. But hopefully the moderates and independents are going to start coming around and realizing what's going on because we're never going to win over the MAGAs, never.
You know, Mandela, you want to respond to...
I remember I got in a little bit of trouble in 2018 when I said, you know, if they voted for Donald Trump, we'll just have to find voters elsewhere. I got in trouble for that. But the fact is, we have seen a constant decline, one, in Black voter participation since the 2012 election. There are folks across the state in more rural communities who have also stopped showing up as well. And it's because people don't oftentimes see Democrats as a party that's going to fight for them. And that is going to be, it has been disastrous for us. It was disastrous in 2016. It was disastrous in 2024. The reality is our biggest swing voter is the people who just don't show up to vote, but could be otherwise convinced if they felt compelled to based on the candidate, based on the messages, based on what they are hearing. But unfortunately, it feels, or even just through conversation, like whether it's casual conversation or reports from the doors from our organizers at Power to the Polls, like people are constantly saying they want Democrats to show up and fight before they are compelled to show up and vote. And you look in Congress right now, where, you know, everybody I talk to doesn't matter. The age doesn't matter. Demographic doesn't matter where they're from. They are always asking, well, where are the Democrats in Congress right now? I'm not there, so I can't answer that question. But what I can say, like, even if they're in, and I do truly believe some people are working on something, but if the people aren't feeling it, just like throughout the 2024 election cycle, there was all this talk about how well the economy was performing, the best performing economy. If the people aren't feeling it, which they weren't because they were still paying higher prices and still getting paid the same amount, they weren't feeling it. So that economic message did not resonate with them, instead of a plan to drive down costs, which should have been what we led with. And it is the same way. If people don't see or feel that Democrats are working for them, even if a whole lot of work is happening behind the scenes, it will not matter come election time.
So, Mandel, I have to ask you, man, because I'm frustrated as a man who for 52 years has always voted Democrat, never voted Republican, never will. I don't believe in their policies, just straight up. But for people who say the Democrats didn't do anything for us and they haven't, what did they think the Republicans have done for them? And what are they doing for them right now? Look, farmers and people in rural America who supported Donald Trump, he's kicking them in the teeth. Republican policies are treating them worse than Democrats ever did. So how is it possible then that those very people who keep saying the Democrats didn't do anything for us, in light of what the Republicans are doing to them and getting ready to do to them, there's going to come a time when they're going to be on their knees begging for relief from the very people that they supported?
And it's happening. It's happening. Right now. Look at the number of people that voted for Donald Trump who are getting fired from the federal workforce. Like, this is actually happening. And my thing has always been, look, there are a lot of people who went out and voted for Donald Trump because he thought, or because they thought, that he was going to bring down the hammer on this community, on that community.
Right.
It was sort of a vote of aggression because we felt that, you know, these people are getting too many rights.
That's
like,
true.
This is happening. This shouldn't be happening. And not realizing how vulnerable they were to the wrath of this president. And now they're feeling it. Now they are a marginalized community themselves because they are out of work.
You know, Mandela, so, because if I hear again, you know, constantly about the Democrats didn't do this, the Democrats didn't do that. And so you look at the state of Wisconsin, it was almost all red. Okay? And so the people, he's not only going to hurt the people in urban America, but they're getting ready to do major damage to the farmers. Right? His policies worse, and they're going to be wishing that Joe Biden was back, who did things to augment and to support farmers. Right? You say what you will. But today is a different day. And you know, you're a Democrat. And so I agree that there's some things that Democrats need to do different, but for heaven's sakes, voting Republican doesn't fix that, man. It exacerbates it.
Voting Republican or not voting at all doesn't fix
right.
it. And that's a message I try to drive home to people. Like, still show up. And if you're frustrated, if you're upset by something, that's all the more reason to show up.
Yeah, 855-752-4842. Former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes is my guest. You can join us again, 855-752-4842 on the Earl Ingram Show.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit nervous that the best of all the years have gone by.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit terrified, and then I see the look in your eyes.
Turn around, bright eyes.
Every now and then I fall apart.
Turn around.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. University of Wisconsin-Madison, Division of Extension Women in Ag Programming, will host I'm a Farmer Too. Women are a key aspect of the agriculture industry and are responsible for many facets of the farm. This program is geared toward women and the many hats they wear in the agricultural industry. Topics for the day center around exploring diversified revenue streams, such as agritourism and locally grown product marketing. The event will be hosted Thursday, March 20th at the Iowa County Fairgrounds in Mineral Point. RSVP by Thursday, March 13th by calling the Lafayette County UW Extension Office at 608-776-4820. The cost of the program is $25 and covers materials, lunch, and craft supplies. Checks can be made payable to UW Extension. RSVP and registration fee is required a week before the program date. The Community Players presentation of Escanaba in the Moonlight hits the stage this weekend at the Richland Center City Auditorium. This play brings the quirky world of Michigan's Upper Peninsula to the stage. The story is told by the family patriarch, Albert Sody. It's the night before deer season, and he and his sons gather to do the things they and thousands of other hunters do every year before the hunt. Drink beer, eat their favorite foods, play euchre, and brag about who shot the biggest buck last year. But son Reuben has a problem. He's never bagged a buck, and if he doesn't this year, he'll go down in camp history as the oldest Sody to never get one. Performances of Escanaba in the Moonlight will be held Friday and Saturday night at 7 and Sunday afternoon at 2 at the Richland Center City Auditorium. Tickets priced at $10 will be sold at the door. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Dolly Parton told Oprah Winfrey that she thought she would be a great mother. Parton elaborated, saying she and her recently deceased husband, Carl Thomas Dean, ultimately decided not to have kids because Parton wanted the freedom to pursue her career and be a mother to all children. That is so Dolly Parton. Parton said at one point they even had a name picked out if they had a girl, but decided against it. I'm guessing it was Dolly Jr.? Billy Joel is putting his health before his tour. The 75-year-old music icon has wisely chosen to postpone working the road so he can rehab after a recent medical procedure. Joel's camp says he will take 4 months away from performing to get his health back. Joel expects to make a full recovery and will resume his tour in Pittsburgh on July 5th of this year. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
We are tracking a powerful spring storm system that could bring some thunderstorms tomorrow afternoon into tomorrow evening. Rain through Saturday with rain changing to snow late Saturday night into Sunday. It's going to be windy with the system too. Otherwise, today, partly cloudy, 64. Tomorrow, our high in the low to mid 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 31.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We're born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober, or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, is it illegal for a law firm to represent someone the government doesn't like? Jim Santel from Amicus, a law review, joins us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Texas, that same number. My guest is former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. So, Mandela, as you've now kind of left the political arena for now, and for the first time in, wow, how long, man?
Well, I can't say that I'm fully left. You know,
I know, but you're not holding an office, and you're not running for
not holding an office for sure. Well, remember, I did have a little brief period, you know, between 2017 and 19, between the assembly and lieutenant governor.
Right.
But you know, and that's the thing too. I'm comfortable enough, you know, not being in office, and that's one thing that happens too often is there seems to be sometimes a dependency on the title. And people feel as if they can't be active or be productive or be helpful or be a part of the conversation without that title, which is absolutely, you know, not true. And having a chance right now to still work on the things that have been important to me for so long, whether it's the clean energy work, whether it's the democracy work, getting people out to vote, creating jobs, like this is the work I have a chance to do and be a part of. And it's exciting for me. I get to work with the same partners in organized labor, get to work with the same partners, even in elected office all across the state. And sometimes, I'm not gonna lie, right? You know, there are parts I certainly do miss, but you know, I'd be lying if I said I was fully removed. I'm still here and I'm gonna be active. I'm gonna maintain a presence, especially as this moment calls for it, like not never before.
Do you feel unshackled?
No, not yet.
Well, and so the reason I asked the question is you see congressmen and senators who've been there for 35, 40 years, and that's who they are. And so somewhere along the line, you have to lose yourself in that. And the person that you were prior to being engaged, your thoughts, man, on somebody being in, you know, public office. We hear people say it for 35, 40 years. And then it almost appears as though they've got to hold on to it and sometimes maybe lose themselves in it or forget why they're there in the first place.
So I'll say the most important part about that, it's not necessarily the time, right? Like it is the effectiveness. If a person has been in office, whether it's the same office or multiple offices over the span of time, if they're actually putting in the work, if they are actually getting things done, if they are actually showing up and maintaining a presence, I don't necessarily have a problem with that, right? Like, and I do support term limits for sure. I think there should be term limits, but you know, as it stands, like I'm not going to say that a person who's been there for some time and is still effective just has to go based on the fact they haven't been there unless there were term limits in place to be all for it.
Right.
Because I know some people who have been in office for very little amount of time and do nothing in the short time that they've had. You don't hear from them on the most critical issues, like people who are freshly elected, who should have the best ideas, who should be, you know, the most emboldened to go out there and, you know, make us think about what's going on and have some sort of presence or pushback to what's going on. And you don't see that. Like, I know a lot of inactive young elected officials, which is the most heartbreaking and depressing.
I'm glad you said that, man, because I see it myself. And they see it as a career path. And, you know, in a representative government, that's a cancer. Because the people can't be represented, and the people can only speak through the voices of the people they elect.
It's a lack of bravery, man. It's a lack of bravery.
Yeah. Well, let's go to Don from Madison. Good morning to you, Don. You say what?
Good morning. I just have to get this off my chest. Long time ago, my mother told me that you have to be a little bit crazy in order to be a politician and a leader. Such as the ones that are in charge of our country right now. And I just got to put it out there. They look a little nuts lately. They look physically and mentally crazy.
Do you mean both sides? And, both just, sides.
Well, I wanted to put my two cents in.
No. So do you mean both sides of the aisle?
No, the ones that are in charge right now, they look mentally crazy.
Well, it's because it's because their policies are that, and their policies don't jive with the average everyday person, right? Okay, and so they don't have the courage to resist. They see bad policies that's going to impact and affect their own citizens, and they don't have the power or the strength to say no. Hey, Don, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Good morning, Mr. Barnes. Hey, you know, and I'm responding to the comment that the Democratic Party didn't do this and Democratic Party didn't do that. And I say BS to that. Today's public, it seems, really knows how to cop out and not really own their part of what it takes to live in a free republic. You know, it just seems to me that the power of the people, we don't understand it. We kind of lost it somewhere. Look what happened in Van Ork's or Van Orton, I think, district when he wouldn't show up. When still hundreds and hundreds of people showed up to the public facility for this representative who chose not to show up, but who did? A true public servant, Mark Polkan, and others. If people organize, and there's enough people, lay people, you know, demonstrating and voicing their opinions, leaders will come out of that group. Leaders will find that group and begin to, you know, join forces and come together. But the first thing that has to happen, in my opinion, and please give me your opinion as well, is we the people have to stand up. We have to say enough is enough. And all of a sudden things, you know, get the momentum going so we can somehow separate the public servants from the self-servants during the primary part of the election process and not after they're elected. What do you think about that?
Hey Mike, thank you very much for the call.
Yeah, if I could take both of those last calls, I'll take the most recent one. And, you know, I don't want this to be a blanket statement when I say when people ask where are the Democrats, because there are, you know, we do have people who are fighting. And it also goes back to my previous point about, you know, people having been in office for a while, but are still showing up and doing the work. And so for sure, this is certainly happening. And when I say this, I mean, you know, writ large, right? Like there should have been zero people who voted for the zero Democrats who voted for the censure of Al Green.
Right.
There should be more people who are showing up all across the country, putting in the effort instead of saying, well, maybe I can try to work with him. This isn't a time to try to work. This is not a normal administration, as you know. And your whole point about the people showing up is the most important part to remember. And I've said this so many times before, it hasn't been the politicians, it's been the people that have led the way and led the sort of revolts against what we're dealing with right now. 100% agree with you on that. And I hope that not only you stay in, but you get a handful more people that get involved, that also get a handful more people to get involved, because that's how we begin to change things.
Right.
And the part, you know, the caller before who mentioned, you know, the appearance of people, it's like, you can only lie to people for so long before it starts weighing on you and honestly having a physical impact on you as a person. And these are people who are lying every day, showing up, defending some of the most grotesque actions in government that we have ever seen in our lifetime. In fact, not some of the most, it is the most, it is the worst. I try to, like, you know, be cautious. I'm still under 40, so I try to be cautious when I say in our lifetimes, but the people I've talked to who are over twice my age say that this is the worst that they have ever seen. So I have to take their word for it.
It is no question. It's the worst in my 70 years. It's the worst we've seen by far. Nothing compares to it. Let's go to Tom from Richland Center. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what? Tom from Richland Center. Tom.
Tom from L.A.
Okay, Tom from L.A.
You hear me?
Go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, listen, you think things were bad when George Bush was in there and they were going after Iraq and stuff. That makes it look like Sunday school. I wanted to mention the money in politics thing you guys were talking about a few minutes ago. I ran for state assembly in 08, and back then you could get public financing for a small percentage of your campaign if you decided not to take corporate money. And I did that, and I was one of the few people. And the people running the local Democratic Party, the state party, were really mad at me for doing that, and that I wouldn't take the big money. And then, of course, with Act 10 and all that, Walker threw that all away. But if we had complete public financing of all elections and reasonable numbers, this whole thing would just be so different. But even the Dems don't want to do that. We also had Healthy Wisconsin in 08 that I ran on, that we were told by the Dems not to run on it. But the state Senate, which was Dem-controlled, had passed it. It was made with Kathleen Vineout and Urban Bach and a few other people and a bunch of labor people and university people, business people, got together and figured out a plan. Turns out it was way better than Obamacare. It would have let families in a rural area like I live in have $6,000 more a year to spend in town. Well, if every family around here spent $6,000 more in town, can you imagine what that would do every year to the economy?
Hey.
And also make people healthy? And anyway, those are things the Dems decided not to do. The people who decided not to do that are in charge of the Democratic Progressive
Caucus. So what did the Republicans do?
Oh, they're trying to chop the heck out of it.
I know, but see, Tom, that's the part of this that I don't understand. We can continue to hammer away what the Democrats didn't do, and so then people turn around and vote for Republicans, and it's
or not vote.
Yeah, or not vote, and it's a total wipeout.
Oh, I'm not saying we're not going to vote Democratic if we have to, you know, if that's the right choices. But you're asking what the Democrats did wrong. They gave up on the things that would have made a huge difference for the regular people, and it's because they went corporate in the whatever.
Thank you very much for the call. Yeah. Do you know what he's talking about, Mandela? They went corporate.
No, I wasn't around at that time.
I'm talking about people even say that now. That the Democrats went corporate.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant Wisconsin.
Or also that the Democrats spent more time, they were more focused on urban America than they were on rural America. And as a person who lives in urban America, I don't know where they got that from. Because if you go through our neighborhoods and communities, I don't see where the Democrats have focused on our community. Mandela, do you?
So what I'll say to that point is I've certainly heard it before, and I guess it goes back to the whole point is, you know, as a Democrat, as somebody who is going to continue to be one, whether I'm in office again or not, if that's the way people are feeling, if that is the response, then we should rethink strategy. We have to, you know, figure out what our approach is to meet the needs of everybody across the state. And it's not my first time.
All right, hold the thought. 855-752-4842. Guys, hang on. We'll come right to you.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Donald Trump is out of control, stopping payments for health care and food for hungry kids, eliminating the Department of Education, and letting unelected billionaire Elon Musk fire anyone he wants and get access to your most private information. We need a Supreme Court justice who will keep them in check before they go too far. That's Judge Susan Crawford.
I'm Judge Susan Crawford. As a former prosecutor and now as a judge, I believe in protecting you, your family, and your right to privacy, and that women have the right to make their own decisions about their health care. Because to me, that's just common sense.
Donald Trump and Elon Musk are both backing Brad Schimmel. He'll do whatever they want. That's why we need Judge Susan Crawford. The common sense judge will keep them in check. Judge Susan Crawford for Supreme Court. Paid for by Susan Crawford for Wisconsin. Crawford for WI.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments. As many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness, and more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
All right, welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Text us that same number. My guest is former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning. First, thank you, Mandela, for showing up on civic media. We need more people like you on here. Second, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. And that's one thing I think Democrats do poorly, is they seem to talk down government. We should be the party of good government. We should be the person that's fighting back against all this negativity towards government. I also think that we need to follow the playbook of the person that won 3-4 elections. Franklin Delano Roosevelt. We have the playbook. Why are we not following that playbook as Democrats? I think you should run as an FDR Democrat. I am a proud FDR Democrat myself because I went back and studied history. But people should know who it was that brought us Social Security, unemployment, and the rest. Also, ask this question to anybody. In the past 50 years, what policy, what prescription have the Republicans put up or have passed for the average working American person? The answer is zero.
Hey Tom, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Brendan. Hey, good morning to you, Brendan. You say what?
Good morning. Listen, I just wanted to comment. A couple people have talked about what the Democrats aren't doing. I want to thank Governor Tim Walz for putting himself out there. He's going to be in Des Moines, Iowa, and he's offered to go to any city to a town hall, Republican or Democrat, and talk to the people and not run off. Because as we've seen, the notice has been put out by the RNC for these knuckleheads to stop going to these town halls. And it's very important because it is where the people's voice is heard. And he took it on his shoulders and he said, look, we made a mistake. We obviously didn't message right. And James Hess, please spare us. Linda McMahon running the educational department, you know, why don't we just put Trump's caddy in charge of some other department? But anyway, but long story short, he's out there, he's doing it, and he's talking.
Hey Brendan, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Mark from Racine. Good morning to you, Mark. You say what?
I guess I was a little confused online. I didn't know Mandela was your guest because online I was seeing apparently an old show. I don't know if it's appropriate. I wanted to say a few things about Ukraine. Should I go forth or wait another time?
No, wait for another time. Thank you very much for the call.
Oh, okay.
Let's go to Jack from Racine. Good morning to you, Jack. You have a question to come in for former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes.
Yes. I wanted to refer back to Tom from somewhere or other, to both Toms. First of all, every time that votes have come up and people proposing to make public funding of politics and government. It's Democrats who support it. Democrats vote for it every time they get out, and they get beaten on that vote by the Republicans. And so you want people to, this business about corporate, whatever, people have to do what they have to do to win an election at that point. That's within the law, and taking corporate donations sometimes is what they need to do. Just the last second thing is referring to all this talk about, I think the talking heads and the press who get to sit on the sidelines and go tut, tut, tut all the time with the Democrats, it becomes their way of making a living, is find out what they can say about the Democrats. Because you know what? There's no secret handshake. I'll bet you more than half of those people on the calling in here complaining about the Democratic Party in one way or another never have worked a day for the Democrats to get elected or to get involved in shape policy. The door is open. There's no secret handshake. Walk in or shut up.
All right. Thank you very much for the call, Mandela. You want to respond to that?
Definitely agree. I got with that. You know, showing up. If you have a complaint, the same thing I talk about, or the same thing I say to people who say they don't want to vote. If you have a complaint, that's all the more reason to show up to vote. If you're frustrated with Democrats or you think they aren't doing enough, show up to a meeting. Work to influence the conversation. And as they say, the cure for ailing democracy is more democracy. The more participation we have, the better off we all are. It is easy to sit and complain about, you know, what the team is doing on the field. But if you aren't out there in the game, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to be very, you know, very direct in that assessment. It's easy enough for us all to get involved and find there are multiple ways. Online, virtually, or in person, which is the most impactful.
Okay, Carter, who's on five? Just put them on.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay. During going back to your earlier part of the show, here I go again. During Abraham Lincoln's time, there were Whigs and Tories. I was going to ask if either of you guys know what Whigs and Tories are. But they coined the phrase mugwumps. And it just came to me while I was waiting that we are inundated with Trump wumps right now. And I would say Brad Schimmel, you know, we've had a time with him, and it was a disaster.
Hey, man, we got you. We're okay. Out of time. Thank you very much for the call.
Trump womp.
Thank you very much. You know, Mandela, I got to bring you back on, man, but we can talk about some many other things. I'm going to be extending the invitation to you, especially with what you're doing now, because it's...
For sure. Always happy to show up.
Yeah. All right. That's Mandela Barnes. And thank you. And thank all of you who made the show go. Thank you, Cardi. Up next, Jane Madnair, Madnair on Air. Mandela, tell your parents I said hello.
I'll be sure to
see you guys later.
All right, see you soon.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll discuss the Supreme Court debate and also a blood moon rising. We'll give you the details. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, he would not be negotiating with the GOP if he was Wisconsin's sitting senator.
I want to clarify, like, I'm always happy to negotiate in good faith, but we're talking about a party that's not acting in good faith. We shouldn't be in a position where we're throwing a life raft to somebody who is hell-bent on sinking the entire ship.
Not something I want to be involved in.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Trump administration has pulled its nominee to lead the CDC. ABC's Karen Travers reports.
The White House has pulled the nomination of Dave Weldon, a former Florida congressman who was President Trump's pick to lead the Centers for Disease Control, just hours before his scheduled Senate confirmation hearing. That's according to multiple sources familiar with the decision. When he was nominated last year, Weldon, a longtime vaccine skeptic, was championed by allies of Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Karen Travers, ABC News, The White House.
U.S. Envoy Steve Witkoff has arrived in Russia for talks with officials on ending the war in Ukraine. Russia says the proposed 30-day ceasefire on the table that Ukraine has agreed to would give Ukraine's army a break, and because of that, it's not willing to agree to it now. Stocks falling once again, even as we found out today, unemployment claims and wholesale prices held steady last week. The sell-off when President Trump threatened 200% tariffs on European spirits. This is ABC News.